listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie
Goldquist. Good afternoon and welcome to another amazing show called Humanitarian Radio. I'm Janie Beauclair, and I have with me Mr.
Tony St. Tone.
On the telephone.
That's your microphone.
On the microphone.
Yes.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm not calling in. I'm actually here live.
You are. I'm live, too. And isn't it a beautiful thing to be live after we've experienced a couple of rumbles in the last few days in Southern California?
Yes. You know, Janie and I have been living here now for 3 years, and this past weekend is the first time that we actually got to experience
A significant
earthquake. I experienced one back in 93, 94 with a friend of mine when I was visiting out here, and that lasted me a lifetime, trust me. But this one was, again,
it was a close second, wasn't it?
It's a close second. This is a 5.1 or a 5.3, and we're here in Anaheim, and boy, it happened around 9 o'clock, and it just
kept us awake for a good 3 hours.
Easily.
It makes you a little nervous for a few days. Then, of course, we had a 4.1 rumble behind it. We had a 3.1 yesterday.
Yeah.
So they're still continuing onward. But, it, you know, we come from hurricane country, which is completely different from earthquake country.
Yeah, hurricane country, they tell you, like, days or weeks in advance.
It's coming.
It might not turn. This just hits you out of nowhere, but it's very quick. And, obviously, within the time that it takes to happen, I think this lasted
11 seconds.
It seems like an eternity because you don't know where to run.
You don't know where to go.
Yeah, where's the cat?
So where's my clothes?
We learned a lot.
What do I need?
Yeah, we learned
What if the building collapses? What am I going to end up with outside in the middle of the night with my cat?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, it prompted me to check out some earthquake facts because I'm really familiar with the whole hurricane thing, living in Florida for 36 years, but earthquakes is fairly new to me. What I learned is there's a lot of earthquakes that go on in the world. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. And there's earthquakes constantly in Southern California.
Yeah.
If you want to study it like our friend Dave does, there is actually a website where you can actually watch all the action.
There is an average of 20,000 earthquakes every year, about 50 a day around the world. Had no clue.
Wow. Okay.
There are, however, millions of earthquakes estimated every year that are too weak to even be recorded. Those are the recorded ones. Almost 80% of all of the planet's earthquakes occur along the Pacific Ocean. Nice.
Okay.
They call it the Ring of Fire. It's a region that encircles the Pacific Ocean and is home to 452 volcanoes. Volcanoes seem to be the enticement for the ground to shake. That seems to be what interacts with the 20 fault plates underneath the earth and all that fun technical stuff that we're not going to talk about right now. The largest recorded earthquake in the United States was a 9.2, which was in Alaska in 1964.
Wow.
9.2, I can't even imagine. The largest recorded in the world was in Chile. That was 9.5 in 1960. And so what they're saying is, it's not so much the earth shaking that is the problem. The earth shaking has never killed anybody. The destruction of the buildings that fall down in the, as a result of the earth shaking.
Right, it's all the debris.
Does. But bigger than that is what natural disasters come from an earthquake, like tsunamis, avalanches, and landslides. An undersea earthquake in India triggered a series of devastating tsunamis in 2004. Struck all along the coast landmass of Indian Ocean, it hit 11 different countries. The water hit 11 countries, killed more than 225,000 people.
Yeah.
The waves were 100 feet high.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So basically what that earth shaking obviously affects everything.
One last fact here. Alaska is the most earthquake-prone state. One of the most seismically active regions in the world experiences a 7.0 earthquake almost every year and a magnitude 8 or greater approximately every 14 years.
How can we never really hear of that?
Because no one really lives in Alaska?
Or, you know, there's just not a lot of public knowledge of those.
Yeah, nobody's
you don't really
talking
hear about
it.
That.
You hear about tornadoes in the United States. You definitely hear about hurricanes. You hear about blizzards.
No, but Alaska's not a very populated state compared to California.
Right.
So I think that's why you're not getting a lot of news coverage that, you know.
Nobody's hanging out there to talk about it.
Yeah. The bears got shooken up a little.
So there's a site called dosomething.org. And dosomething.org is a site that you can go to figure out what you need for quick emergency kits. If you got to run out of the house, what do you need for any of these disasters, whether it's a man-made disaster or something happens in your building, period, not necessarily
okay.
from a storm. So it lists what you need for supplies and how to gauge your supplies. Like, I want to have a 5-day supply of stuff, or I want a 3-day supply, or I just want to be supplied for 24 hours. I know in Florida, we would get hit with hurricanes, and when the water was so high that all the stores had to be closed, you couldn't have access to grocery stores for at least 3-4 days.
Yeah.
So there, we always did like a 5-day kit. I always had 5 days worth of canned food and da-da-da-da-da-da. So depending on what your area and what your experience has been in the past, it would be worth going to a dosomething.org type of site and see what it is that you need. And the other thing is, where do you put it? You got to put it somewhere quick access where you could bolt out the door with it, not stuffed in the corner of your garage, because you may not have time to
you
get
might
to
have
the garage.
Time. I would say keep it nearby, either in your bedroom or in a closet near the door. Do they suggest, I know this is something that I learned, that you know, you want to get it within a doorway because it's framed better. You know, so if you're in an earthquake, at least the doorway's got a little more support.
And
it's got a frame around it, so if debris is falling, it might be falling to the right and left of you, and at least the door should hold.
In a hurricane, they said get in the bathtub and put a mattress over you. That was the number one spot for safety.
Right, right.
So it depends where you are. Tornado, underground, you know, depends where you are as to what the advice
earthquake,
is.
Don't go underground.
Yeah.
Stay above the ground.
Okay, so that's our disaster preparedness talk for the day.
Yeah.
And
well, then you know, for us, I think what it was just a it was a quick awakening and a quick
lesson. A bit of an eye opener.
To go, okay, obviously we live in a place that earthquakes happen quite often, and they said on the news that for the past 20 years it's been very quiet.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of earthquakes.
Unusually quiet.
Yes, and they said in the 80s there was a lot of earthquakes, or at least normal amount of earthquakes. And then for the past 20 years, it's been asleep. And now I guess we had one 2 weeks ago in Santa Monica. Now we just had this one happen in La Habra. So they're saying it might be getting back to normal again.
Yeah.
Normal being, I don't know, every couple of months or
20
a month.
A year.
Okay.
Whether they're big or not.
Right.
In this area anyway. So.
Yeah. It was definitely something that when you experience it, you won't quite forget it. Even though it lasts 11 seconds long, it's something that stays with you. You're like, this is
well,
really
we've been talking about it for 3 days, so.
Yeah.
And it was 3 days ago, 11 seconds, 3 days ago. We're still talking
about
it.
About it. Yeah.
The whole town is,
yeah.
The news is, you know, yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
Something that wakes you up to, like, wow, this could happen. And, you know, my mom was asking me, you know, are you okay? Is everything all right over there? And I said, yes. I said, Ma, think about it. I said, in the Midwest, they get tornadoes. In Florida, the East Coast, they get hurricanes. I said, you know, other places get mudslides. Some people get wildfires. We get earthquakes. I mean, it is what it is. There's no place really that is
pure
from
natural disasters. Yeah.
It is what it is. So you just have to learn how to deal with it and go, which one do I want?
Let me
do
just
I want
say,
the hurricane
I'm grateful
that's gonna come?
That we don't get the blizzard here.
Exactly.
I am happy for that.
Here's the thing. A hurricane can last like 2 days, and you have like a week maybe knowing that it's coming.
Yeah.
And then you have to sit through it for a whole 2 days or whatever.
Misery.
Earthquake comes and goes in 11 seconds. You have no idea. You don't freaking out about it. It just comes and goes, and that's it.
Well, it shakes up your guts for a few days. But
yeah, but you know
yeah.
what? Honestly, I'd rather have that, I think. I think I'd rather have it come and go without me knowing about it as opposed to,
the suspense.
Oh, my God.
It's coming.
And watching
hit us?
The news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nonstop going, okay, is it going to show up already? So we're going to take a short commercial break and we'll be right back.
All right.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio-video graphic design service.
Janie from Artistic Journey Promotional Products. Spring is just around the corner, and what a perfect time to jump into action with your business promotions, fundraisers, red carpet events, and personal parties. Let Artistic Journey find the perfect items to properly represent your ideas. From coffee mugs to banners to clothing and over 750,000 other goodies to put your logo on, we can find the right product at the right price for you. Now in our 20th year, let our experience bring you into action. Mention Humanitarian Radio and receive 20% off on your first order. Call today. Artistic Journey, 941-780-2538. And we are back with Rochelle Carson-Begley. And Rochelle, we are so happy to have you with us today.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, we met you at a fundraiser. It was last month in February for Mending Kids. Is that an organization that you've worked with in the past? Because
No, I was pleasantly surprised to find out about it. I had just been asked to do a favor for a friend. I was like, sure, I'll do it. And I knew it was a fundraiser, but I didn't know what the – I do a lot of – if it has kids involved and it has mending, I'm there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And what was your favor?
What was my what?
Your favor. Were you modeling that day?
Oh, I liked my pants and jacket outfit ensemble. It was very cute. I mean, my friend Anne, who makes these clothes, she's so talented.
Yeah, it was cool. Just for everyone who's listening, they had a bunch of beautiful ladies modeling some clothing for this benefit at a restaurant, and Tony and I got to perform there, and that's how we all met. So we got to find out.
And you did a great job, I might add.
Yay.
Wonderful selection of music.
Thank you. Well, you know, we need to play something for you ladies to walk around in. So, and then you started dancing, so it was all good.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you right out of the gate, because I've looked at a bunch of your videos, your movies and things that you've been in, and your past 27 years of glory, which was very, very impressive, by the way, Rochelle. And what I wondered is, I know what flavor you're in now, being Mrs. Begley, so I understand completely the green world that you live in, but I'm wondering, how did you get to that green world? Were you always part of that throughout your, you know, young years, or is this something that developed lately, or how did that all transition for you?
No, it really developed when I met Ed. I mean, I'd always been very conscious of the environment.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
yell out the, window, it's a polluter,
Right, right.
As a kid, I was very aware, growing up with, I remember when the Chattahoochee River, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and when the Chattahoochee River turned a very odd shade of blue, which was not in nature, it was a very chemical-produced
right.
And I remember thinking as a young child, that is not right. That's not right. There's something wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
Didn't really think about it much more until I came to L.A. I was always this is what happens when you get old.
Humanitarian.
For brains.
We're calling you a humanitarian.
No, my focus was always about women and children.
Okay.
My concern, if I was going to do any philanthropic work, it was more in those subjects, women, equal rights for women, protecting women around the world, or, rights for children, all that kind of thing. So I was much more geared toward that. But when I met Ed, I was like, well, the environment's fine. I mean, but I think it's a rather safe cause to be involved with, don't you?
Right.
It's like, let's get down and dirty with some real political things, or, how women are treated around the world, or kids in this country are starving. Why don't we deal with that before we deal with the environment? And I remember it very clearly. We were out to dinner, not to drop names, but it just happens to be with Don Henley, a good friend of Ed's from the Eagles. And Don made a very good point. He said, without the environment, we have nothing. So
that's pretty cut and dry. Pretty cut and dry.
We can all agree. We all have the right to have clean water and clean air, period.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has that. That's a God-given right. And that's someplace that, regardless of what your political
affiliation,
political
yeah.
side you take, you're going to, you know, that is, you can't argue with that. I mean, you can argue about how to get there, but you can't argue with that, that you, the need for it.
Right.
So he made a good point. It started opening my eyes. And then the more, obviously, Ed and I got serious and I got involved, the more information I got, the more concerned I became. And yes, indeed, it is a place to put that has been very dear in, to my heart,
mm-hmm.
and where most of my activism has been targeted.
Yeah, and I can see how that is, because, you know, knowledge is power, and the more you learned about things and understood things, the more power you had in, you know, in that, wow, I really get
yes.
that this is a really big need.
Well, it's a big issue, and if you certainly if you want if you care a lot about women and children and what we call the disenfranchised, which I think it's odd that I would say women
right.
in that, but we do we are 55% or something of the world population, and yet a little you know, underappreciated, I would say. But
amen, sister.
Women and children live in close to the dirtiest air and water on the planet.
Yeah.
So
if
there's going to be poverty, women and children live at, the majority of women and children in poverty live near bad water, bad, have no drinking water,
right.
have horrible air. So, if you're, so you know, it is an approach to bring together all my, you know, all the things that I am concerned with.
Right. So this was a great way to tie everything together for you so you can get behind the cause 100%.
Yes.
And
can't articulate it, but I can get behind it. Yes.
Well, and just so people know, give us a little detail as far as the house and the conditions that you actually currently live in, because some people might not be familiar how green you guys are. They might think, you know, oh, they have an electric car. That's nice. It's like, I think you guys take it further than that. But that's what's so educational about it.
We actually take it so much further. We actually did a whole show about it, you know, for 3 years about the way we live. And we live in a, you know, a very modest home in the San Fernando Valley. From the outside, you would think nothing about it. But it's fully solar. So we very rarely have to go. We are hooked up to the grid, but we rarely have to use it. And the only reason we use it is if it's been raining a lot, which unfortunately it has not been in Southern California. We are in a drought. Or Ed had to charge his electric car, or, you know, all those things. But nonetheless, we pretty much are off the grid. So we can charge our electric car, you know, from the solar. Just from the outside, I'm looking at this extraordinary, beautiful garden, but it is a drought-tolerant garden. There is no lawn. We have no lawn. I have a little patch of artificial grass in the backyard, just sort of a little taste of grass, but it's a fantastic product that looks like grass but does not ever need to be watered.
I saw that. And, I've seen that before. It's incredible how far they've come with that. It feels
yeah, and this one particular brand is very good. And we have lots of gardens in the back, food growing on the premises. Ed likes to cook a lot. I don't particularly like to cook, which is perfect. So he likes to cook. We grow a lot of food here. The house is insulated within an inch of its life. I mean, there's probably not a more insulated house in all of Southern California. And this is a house that was built in the 30s, so it's all been retrofitted. You know, as Ed likes to say, you know, you pick the low-hanging fruit. You do what you can afford to do. And when he bought this home 24 years ago, you know, he could afford to put solar on it. But that's, you know, and as the years went on, he could afford to upgrade the windows and have, you know, triple, double-pane windows and then put in more insulation. And, you know, of course, all of the light bulbs are either LED or compact fluorescents. We also added these solar tubes, which bring in natural light, which are amazing.
So, I haven't heard of those.
You know. So, I mean, the house is as efficient as any, you know, retrofitted house from the 30s could possibly be. I challenge you to show me a better one. So, however, even with all of that, you know, we're a family. My daughter's 14, and it's still a small house.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as she started growing up, and we really can't share the same bathroom anymore.
I'm sure.
We decided that we were going to, you know, maybe find another house and, you know, just do a remodel. That was our first.
Your first
thought. consideration. We were just going to do that first. That
yeah.
was the first thing we were going to do. But then we found this beautiful lot. We saw this house. And as it turns out, we bought it.
Nice.
And it, as it turns out, it, there's nothing about it was salvageable. When the architect looked at it, he just went, I don't think so.
Well, that's good. In one respect, it's easier to remodel when you know it couldn't be saved.
Well, that's what they always say. And now I'm thinking, I don't know if you were right. Although, in this case, you know, when we started, because we can't just be like, you know, everyone else and just bulldoze the house and throw it into a landfill, of course.
Right,
we can't do that.
Yeah.
So we had to recycle this house. So every bit of it was like 95% of the house was recycled.
That's awesome.
And that's not the norm when it comes to construction.
Oh,
that is
no.
very unusual.
No, but it's amazing that you can actually do that. That's what impresses me, and I think people need to realize that you were able to take a house and recycle 90% of it.
95.
Where normally, I guarantee you, it's like 5 or 10%.
95% goes to the dump.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, right. And, well, first thing that you do is get Habitat for Humanity to come out and take your choice pieces.
Right.
You know, take everything that you're not going to use but still decent and salvageable and all
yeah.
that. And they took that. And then
excellent.
The remainder, which, you know, really, that's what's going to go into a landfill. And that's where a company, believe it or not, called IRS came out. And they normally do this with buildings. They don't normally do it in residential. So I'm hoping that people hear this and that there will be more of this coming around,
yeah.
that more companies will come up and step up to the plate and do this, because it does provide a huge service.
Right.
And they're salvageable with, you know, there's only a finite amount of trees in the world. There's only a finite
mm-hmm.
amount of lumber, you know, and aluminum and all of that.
Right.
So we have to recycle.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, in that process when that company came in, did they recycle 2x4s or plywood or
yes.
so they were able to get
oh,
into
yes.
that type of stuff. I know, because, like, you know, sheetrock is going to break apart, but sometimes
yeah.
you might be able to, I don't know, reuse it. I just wasn't sure if that was possible.
Well, you can't by law reuse it in this country. It's against the building codes or something. So we sent it. It was sent down to Mexico, and it was, to my understanding, they built a chapel.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See, that's the way to do it, sister. You guys are so on the right trail.
See, I think that is awesome.
Believe me, the 2x4s, and I think they're 4x4s. I don't remember what they were because I don't really understand building.
Yeah.
But I know that the wood is better than it is now.
Right.
Oh, yes.
So
right. yes.
It's good lumber.
Yes, it's very good lumber. I have some knowledge in construction, and the older homes were built with much better wood, and they were built much better back then. That's why you can still see houses built from the 1920s and 30s, still standing, because
yeah.
they didn't use a lot of press wood, and everything was real wood. They didn't use cardboard
right.
or anything else. So, yeah, that wood is
right.
precious.
That's awesome that you were able to recycle that.
So
off.
Hopefully there'll be some changes in the laws, and
yeah.
they'll start to realize that, you know,
building code,
lumber.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when we decided to take the house down, that, you know, and with Ed did not want to cut down any more trees, which I was thinking, how are we going to build the house and not cut down any more trees? How is that going to be possible? And so he was really set on doing it out of steel frame. So it's a steel-framed house.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay.
Very
good
for earthquake, I bet.
There aren't a lot of residential, but it is becoming... There are more. It's mostly, you know, in industrial.
Right.
Any office building is steel frame. Now I know why people don't do it, but it is a little more of a learning curve and all of those things. But, you know, we are sort of the pioneers, and, you know, you can learn from us.
Yeah,
that's why we're
totally.
Doing it. That's why I've documented this whole process. So the whole process has been that the deconstruction was documented and is in webisode format on a website called Evokes, EVOXX. It's and it's, you know, it's entertaining. So it
sure.
talks about the way we did it and who we are and the way we live.
What's the name of the
like
show on that channel, on that website?
That's called On Begley Street.
Okay.
And,
On Begley Street.
Yeah, that's a show that we actually were doing. PBS here in Southern California had wanted that show, but unfortunately PBS doesn't fund.
Right.
So you have to find your own independent funding,
yeah.
And, you know, Green was not trending a few years ago. I don't know if it's trending now, but, you know,
yeah.
It certainly wasn't trending back then.
Maybe a
so
little
I
more.
So I just said, forget it. We'll go to the Internet.
Totally. Smart
yeah.
move.
And I think it's great that people can actually go and see what was salvaged from your house, considering 90% was salvaged, so that in the future, if they're going into construction or having to make a change, they know that they can actually have this done. Because, honestly, I don't think a lot of people are aware that it's possible, because most contractors will come in and say, no, we just rip it down. And when you watch these TV shows, every, you know, make over your kitchen or make over your bathroom, they come in with a sledgehammer and they have a big dumpster
smash
and they just
everything.
Throw everything out. They don't save anything.
Yep.
And I go, you know, and they do it for entertainment purposes. You know, we got to smash the cabinets, not give them away. That's part of the fun.
I know. It's such a waste. It's really unfortunate. But, you know, it was definitely, it was news to me. I didn't know you could recycle a house either. So when we did it, and the one thing that we really was interesting about taking apart a house from the 40s, this particular house was from the 40s, is that it is very toxic. It's a very toxic process. So you have to, even if you're going to bulldoze it, you have to take precautions.
Right.
I mean, I had people in hazmat suits doing this.
Yeah, totally.
Literally, because there's asbestos, there's lead, there's all of these horrible materials. So the real safeguard against that is to never build with them in
there
the first
place.
There
you go. I love it.
I don't know. They didn't know better back then, or they just chose not to know better. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, they didn't know better. I mean, truly, they didn't know better.
And
so some of that kind of stuff cannot be recycled. It cannot. It obviously has to be in a hazard waste dump.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. They're bulldozing these homes. They're putting them in landfills, but they're not they're not in hazard waste dumps. So they're just that stuff dipping down into our, you know, our groundwater. But that's a whole other subject.
So tell me,
you know, that's the downside.
Rochelle, tell me, how does this steel framed house hold up in an earthquake?
Fantastic. We actually had one on Monday, and it was
that's what I was curious
about.
My son's a contractor in Florida, and you know we've got the storm damage issues over there regularly. I was thinking that as far as you guys having the detail of how the home was recycled, that's something that he could use as a tool to show his homeowners as he's doing jobs for them, because he does residential construction right on the beaches there in Sarasota, Tampa area. And I'm thinking, wow, what a great tool to have footage of everything that you guys did for his homeowners, because he builds green. He likes to build as green as possible. And half of that battle is recycling the goods and getting the homeowners to agree not to just get a dumpster over there and dumping everything out.
Right.
So I think that's just really awesome. And I could see how contractors could use that as a tool in order to, you know, help their clients get a clue. So
good. Yeah, well, that's the whole point. I mean, that was the hope that would come out of this, that people could learn from this. And obviously, you know, Ed always says, you know, if I don't do it, who will? So I'm like, do we have? And I'm the ones always saying, do we have to be the ones to, you know, set the precedent?
Yes, you do.
The answer is yes.
Day, of course, I commend him and I myself for it, because it is a learning curve, and there are mistakes that are made, and there's money that's wasted, and all of that.
And it takes a lot of courage to be a pioneer in anything. Tony has been a pioneer in his brand of music and that type of thing, and we continually are told on our musical trail that you guys are pioneers at this. Where, you know, there's nobody else doing this positive music show like you guys are doing. So it really takes courage to do that, and I really applaud you guys both for stepping outside of the comfort zone, you know. And,
you too. It does take courage because, you know, maybe it's not going to be for the masses, but someone is interested.
Let me tell you.
And you have to sort of, you build it, they'll come.
The trickle down.
They won't come at ever. So,
right.
You know.
And the trickle down effect off the things that we do. I mean, I continually get brought to my awareness. You think you're touching five people, but those five people have each touched 10 who have each touched 10 who have each touched 10.
Right.
You know, we really don't know, you and I, how far our reach has gone, which is almost a beautiful thing.
Which I wanted to say, you have a new show that you're actually in the process of filming. Is that correct? It's called Our Greenhouse.
Yes, we did the on Bagley Street, which is the deconstruction on Evokes. And then, you know, the internet is the wild west of media, so sometimes it's funded, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on and found another network that is a newer network as well, but they had really good capital behind them, and we decided to go on and continue the show, because that was just the deconstruction. Now we're continuing with the build of the house, and our greenhouse is the name of the show, and it's on a network called Bite Size TV. It's a web network.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they have, you know, Hollywood entertainment stuff, but they wanted to go also and have a green channel. And Ed and I are the co-host of that green channel that has not launched, but the show can be viewed. I think we have a couple of, I would urge people to go to it, because I want you to see they're beta testing them right now. They're testing really well. So, you know,
well, you guys are definitely... You're definitely the poster children for Living Green, which is awesome, because everybody needs somebody to look at.
We have to be the poster children. We hope that we can enroll some young people in this. And I really do feel that the young generation is interested, because it's their
mm-hmm.
future. We've already done. The planet is okay for us. We've got, 30, maybe if we're lucky, 30, 40 more years max.
Right.
And we're, you know, we've done a lot of damage, but the planet will still be here then. It's the 100 years, the 60, there goes my dog, the 60, 70 year, 80 year time
right.
frame that we have to worry about.
Right, our children, grandchildren.
Yes. So, you know, we've already, there are a lot of ills, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of proactive, positive things to combat, you know, global warming. And it's not only, and it's such a misnomer, because global warming, you know, we've had one of the coldest winters on record on the East Coast, but it's really global climate change. It's the extreme weathers that we have to worry about, the extreme
right.
storms, the extreme, you know, the once every 100 year storm that's happening every year.
All the time now, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I have family that lives in Connecticut, and they said it's probably like the worst winter they've ever experienced in a long time.
But they say that every year, because every year gets worse.
Well, it's 15 storms
yeah.
this year, and
yeah.
you know, they still have snow on the ground, and it's the first day of spring. So
right.
Not
yeah,
happy.
I mean, I can't even imagine. And then they had a winter last year or the year before that was the warmest. I mean,
yeah.
it's just sort of, you can't prepare, you know.
Right, right.
So that's where global climate change, global warming has gotten it's not an accurate name. It's global climate change. Because the naysayers can go, well, that's ridiculous. It's cold here. We've had, you
right.
know, however many storms. But that is why, that's the need. That's why we do what we do, so that, the individual can actually affect change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about something else that you have experience with us actually close to my world, and that is the book that you wrote. You wrote a book letting people know about, well, something about spring. Why don't you talk about that for a minute?
Oh, I wish I wrote that book. That's Rachel Carson. I'm named after her. She's the mother of the environmental movement.
I thought that was your
Violent
book.
Spring. No, she wrote, are you kidding? I love that you think that I wrote that. Rachel Carson, But you're not far off. I am named after Rachel Carson.
Okay.
So.
Well, it's right up your alley. It totally would make sense you wrote it.
She died in the 60s.
Okay.
See that? Well, then there's a reason why she came back around. Because,
well, I'll tell you, the book is about, if we're talking about the same book, which I'm sure we must be, it's about DDT and a bunch of different
yep.
chemicals that
yep.
are
oh,
in
yes.
the grass and
gosh,
in the ground.
Gosh, I wish I'd written that. No, she wrote, that's how extraordinary this was. She wrote that, I think, in the 40s.
Really? Wow.
Yes. She was, oh my God, she risked her life because,
sure.
you know, Dow Chemical and big corporations
yeah.
and governments and, you know, were like, what are you doing? No, this is business as usual. I mean, there was lots of money she was going up against.
Totally.
Ironically enough, she died of breast cancer.
Oh, you're kidding.
Which, stress, chemicals,
yeah.
all of that could have been a big factor in it.
Now, you were named after her, right? Is that what you said?
Yes, I was.
Okay,
oh,
so
yeah.
obviously you were...
Ironic.
You've been given the
to
torch.
Be this girl.
You've been given the torch to move forward with these types of movements and these types of awareness. That's very clear to me.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, I always say that was, you know, I was an environmentalist before I met Ed, just in namesake, but in nothing else, you know.
Well, it was interesting because
now I am stepping in a little more of those shoes. It's been his banner, but I've just followed suit.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have examples, and he's been my example, so.
Isn't that awesome? Well, when I had read about that, or when I had seen that about her book, it reminded me of something, which it goes hand in hand with what you and Ed are doing and trying to make people aware of, and the whole chemical thing in the, you know, in the grass and on the earth and wherever you are. My son at 19 years old got sick, and we did a ton of testing on him, and we determined that when he was in 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, he did a part-time job at a golf course. And
he
wore sneakers every day when he worked there, he had so much toxin in his body that was still there 10 years, 15 years later from that experience.
Pesticides.
Yep.
Herbicides. People don't realize it. They really don't realize. If you have a very green golf course in Southern California, you have a lot of pesticides and herbicides on that green golf course, because that is not natural. Not here. Now, maybe back east where it rains a lot. But even there, just to keep it green and crisp and all that, they put a ton of pesticides and herbicides and if you live near a golf course, the runoff from it.
Right.
So there's such a lack of awareness in this.
Quite the eye-opener for me. I never expected that the health issues he was having 10 years later were as a result of him hanging out on a golf course in a mini-golf yard with his sneakers on. You know, I never, ever, ever was aware that anything like that was even possible.
So do you feel that, obviously, you have an awareness of this, and do you feel like when you try to speak out, that people just say, "Oh, you're exaggerating," or "Oh, you're paranoid,"
do they accept it?
I'm just curious.
I think certainly the ones, you know, many people are in total lockstep with us and in total agreement. The problem for us was, you know, well, we had a show about it. It was a tongue-in-cheek kind of show, but it was, you know, the way we live, called Living with Ed, and it was cute and it was funny, but it sort of spoon-fed you, you know, takeaways. Like, it was on Home and Garden, which was a sort of odd place for it to be, but it was about the way we lived. And the sort of middle America, I don't think they'd really had ever, you know, contemplated this. I mean, this was sort of, it was a little too much real for them, you know. I don't know. I shouldn't understand. I mean, I think this was about 7 years ago. So I think that things have now certainly shifted. You know, and more so with people like your son who got sick because of a golf course or something that you think is benign and in essence good for you, but is really, you know, really making you, you know, so in the media, I think what has happened, even, certainly in the media, so the media is reflective of what people want to see, you know, in TV, and there has been a big backlash. No one is interested right now. We went through a really, well, when the economy tanked, the economy was definitely correlated with green. People thought, green, we can't do it. It's too expensive.
Too expensive.
We must focus on jobs.
Yep.
So we really, you know, got burnt with that. However, if they really thought about it, green is about saving money. You know,
totally.
It's like all of these things are, you know, cost effective.
Totally cost effective, and those can create more jobs and save the environment at the same time. It could be easily a win-win situation.
But it takes a moment of, it takes a little leap of faith, because it isn't something they know, you know. And anything that you don't know, it takes a leap of faith.
Let me ask you this. How does your daughter react to this? She's 14, right? That's a year where it's make it or break it in school as far as people's opinions and all of that fun stuff. Is she a green girl?
She walks her own drummer. I mean, she's definitely her father's daughter. She is an environmentalist. She, you know, my husband and my daughter took the subway to to the subway in Los Angeles, I might add, to the Academy Awards. It is a governor on the one of the governors of the Actors Branch of the Academy Awards, and they took the subway, and she was in like 3-inch heels, which I don't know how she can even walk in them, but she is only 14. And you know, and it was a statement, and she was all for it. I'm like, honey, and it was supposed to rain that day, and I said, you really don't have to do this. And she goes, I have to do it. And what, are you kidding? Of course I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the subway. I think it's the right thing to do.
That's very, very cool.
And
I applaud her for doing that at her age, especially where she's very much taking a stand for herself and not caring what other people think. Because usually when you're in your teens, you're very conscious of what everyone thinks. It's like, I got to fit in. But instead, she's actually just standing up. That's excellent.
She's fitting in better by standing her own.
No, she's a leader.
She's a leader,
she definitely
right.
is. And that is, you know, she, as people say, how did she adjust? Well, she really didn't have to adjust because she really knew no different. We call it sort of the Stockholm syndrome. She, you know, identifies with her captors. She was raised recycling, and it was odd for her to not do it.
Now, isn't that, see, I think you just tapped on something really, really important, that if you don't know any different, you don't know what you're missing. So if you are raised in that situation where we recycle, we put this here and we put this here and we put this here and this is how we do things, and you just assume that's the norm, then that's the norm. And if no one ever told you any different, then you would just do it that way. If we could start that in the school systems, like when kids have their lunch, hey, put your milk carton here, put your such and such here, your styrofoam here, put your fork here, then it just becomes
normal,
intuitive afterwards. And it's like, this is what you do at home.
Absolutely. I think they do. I mean, I'm sure in some places they do, and in some countries they do more. I lived in Canada for a couple of years, and they certainly were ahead of the curve when it came to recycling and many of the environmental legislation, because they, you know, socialism is about the people and protecting the people from their base self. So they just do things like that. We come to it a little slower in our legislation, but I get it. Listen, I just want to say that if I can learn these habits, and that's what I mean, because they are habits, anyone can learn them. I'm an old dog. I think, you know, that whole thing about new tricks. I like my creature comforts like anyone else. I am, you know, just... The only difference is I happen to have fallen in love with someone who had, you know, a different idea about about living.
Who taught you,
know,
different
and
things.
And then it made sense.
Yeah.
And so it was certainly a learning curve for me. Oh, my dog. It's
puppy.
A learning curve for me, but I, you know, it can be done.
Yeah. Yep. I think
the dog agrees.
Yeah, I think that was an agreement.
Yes. I think someone came to my door. My God.
You're okay.
I'm my daughter's tutor. Isn't that great? Yeah, okay. There we go.
You're okay.
Well, you realize that I am really home, and this is a real working house.
It makes for good radio.
It's just normal like everybody else in America. I have a daughter, she has a tutor, and it's in math.
See, there you go.
And the dog alarms us to his presence, yes.
So, Rochelle, what do you have coming up on your agenda? What's 2014 look like for you?
Well, one thing is we are currently shooting our greenhouse for Bite Size TV. That's one thing. I'm always trying to develop more programming for, you know, for television in the green space. So hopefully one day that it'll trend will come back around, and we can get a TV, we can get a show on the air where we can just reach more people, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and believe it or not, the internet reaches a lot of people, as you know. So,
absolutely.
I think they're all going to be one at some point in the near future.
I agree with that. I think it is all going to be one where
TV people are going to have to wise up.
And what's going to happen is,
exactly.
I just saw a commercial the other day. They said if you miss the show from on Monday night, you could watch it later on demand. And to actually have the advertiser say that, because let's face it, people's schedules aren't the way they used to be. It's not the 9-to-5 anymore, and dad doesn't go to work and come home while mom stays with the kids. It's totally changed. So people want to sit down when they sit down. If they sit down at 8 o'clock to eat dinner, that's when they want to watch their favorite show, even though it had already passed. So I think it's going to end up that way rather than choose.
Exactly. And so, you know, because of that, we're working on new programming, and I still act, so I, on occasion I'll do something. You know, I don't go out a lot these days, but if someone asks me to do something, or occasionally I'll get an audition, and I did a movie last year, The Bling Ring, and I've got a movie coming out called The M Word, and so I'm still,
great.
You know.
You're still in it, baby. You're still in it.
Yes.
Yeah, you're still very much in it, and you know what? That is, I think, is just as important because you're out there just letting people know, educating people, so they see you in other situations. Seeing you in a movie, then seeing you on this TV show lets them feel like, oh, she's out there doing this. It's like, yeah, you're doing it for real as opposed to just
for notoriety.
Acting another role,
yeah.
As you would.
Yeah.
You know, something
yes,
else.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, it's not, I didn't just become an environmentalist to do Living with Ed.
Right.
I mean, this is something that
we
believe in.
Are you sure?
And, you know, it'll either be in this, it'll be, we're going to blend the two, which is our life, we're both actors, we're going to blend the two or not, or we'll
right.
act and do our environmental work over here.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We're definitely, you know, I love Hollywood. I mean, I think artists are the mouthpiece for humanity.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well said.
Yeah, I agree 100% because artists are the ones that are thinking outside of the box and have the ability to either put it in a song or put it in a movie or put it out in an
right.
entertaining way that makes people think. And we can encourage
Absolutely.
Others to do the same. So as we encourage them, we can encourage them in a positive way. So
exactly.
Can't agree with you more on that.
Yeah.
So I think that is it. Unless there's something else that you wanted to talk about, I really appreciate you taking the time out to spend with us and let our listeners know about what you're doing and how
yeah,
you're living
and
green.
Yeah, what they can do. Is there? Do you guys have a Facebook or somewhere where if people wanted to interact with you that they could actually speak with you?
Or your show?
Yes, I have Facebook, but I also have a website,
okay.
RochelleCarsonBegley.com.
Great.
And Facebook is another place. Yeah, it's Rochelle Carson on Facebook. But, yeah, I mean, I really need to get on Twitter. I don't really – my husband does Twitter, and I don't really know how to do it, and it's sort of overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
Ask your daughter. I'm sure she'll figure it out for you.
Exactly. My Instagram, my Twitter.
I was
going to
say, she probably knows Instagram
you know.
And all that stuff that us girls that are a little bit older than teenagers don't care to learn all these new things.
It changes too quick. It's like you learn it and then it's gone.
I know. But it's, hey, I'm all for it. Listen, it's all information. And to know you're not alone in this fight is really important, you know.
Absolutely.
And if we make it just more or less of a fight, more about just the way we are, just what it is, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We just have to wake up. Be conscious and be proactive because you can affect change.
You can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Michelle, if you don't mind, we'd love to hear back from you again once you guys get your house built and talk about the
sure.
How it's going in there. And also definitely want to follow you on our greenhouse and keep tabs on what
Great.
You're doing because we support you 1,000% and we absolutely encourage our fan base to do the same for both you and Ed. I think you guys are doing great things.
Well, we really
things.
Appreciate it.
I think this is going to...
I love what you guys are doing. So, you know,
thank
really
you.
Keep up the good work because we need to be... We need those beacons, those lights, those people shining the way for us and reminding us that it isn't over, you know, that
yeah.
we can...
Just beginning.
Do something.
It's not all doom and gloom.
Yes.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so
yeah.
much again, Rochelle. And we look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Great. All right, take care.
Take care. Thank you.
So thanks, Rochelle. We dedicate a song to our guest every week, and today's song we're going to dedicate is a St. Tone original called Breaking All the Rules, written by Tony St. Tone. So, Tony, tell the people what this song is about so they get a full idea before we play it.
Well, it's breaking all the rules that were meant to be broken.
Ah.
So it's basically the boundaries that we put on ourselves, if it's society puts on us or if our parents might have put certain boundaries on us or boundaries that we put upon ourselves. So with Rochelle here and Ed breaking the rules of society of doing things outside of the box, I think the song was very appropriate because not everyone is living green, and yet they're looked upon as these outrageous pioneers that are doing things that are so extreme. But yet,
like flying to the moon and
yeah.
doing all the other crazy things that Americans
people said you shouldn't do or can't
done.
Do. Yeah, I was talking to a construction worker, and I said that...
you know, that you can actually recycle 90% of your house when you remodel it. And he says, yeah, but that's very expensive. I said, maybe, but
how
the whole point is...
How expensive is it to have no trees left in the world?
The whole point is that it's possible, and most of us don't even look at it. So
right.
This
right.
is breaking all the rules.
Enjoy. Find that song at www.sainttone.com and also hop on and like Tony on his Facebook, Saint Tone. And I like that song, Tony. Great writing, buddy.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about solar stuff because I was looking up, the government actually gives you some great rebates if you dive into the world of solar to save energy.
Yeah.
So I found there's a ton of sites, by the way. There's hundreds of them.
Well, actually, I was going to say, just yesterday we were at Home Depot, and there was a stand set up seeing if you're eligible for solar panels and, mm-hmm. and how you can get involved. So obviously people are actually getting more and more active and more involved in that. I mean, the fact that the Bagleys pay $400 a year.
I love that number.
On electricity, that is amazing. So, I mean, that right there, and they handle an electric car also. So they're plugging in an electric car and using all the energy in their house and still only paying $400 a year. That's insane.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. So, you know me, I'm looking up stats, right, because I want to be informed and tell everybody what the deal is. The government will give you 30% of the cost that you pay to have your solar purchased, installed, whatever it is. They'll give you 30% back whether you are a residential or a commercial property. That's pretty cool just by itself. So this one company puts out these stats. He says a typical residential system will cost you between $15,000 and $25,000 after your rebates and incentives from both the power company and the government. The power company does a couple different things. They credit you back on your own bill, and they also will use the power that you're generating and sell it to others and credit you there. So there's a couple of different crazy programs that give you some money back, actually, for using your solar. But it says a typical cost for you will be $15,000 to $25,000. When you realize that you'll be spending at least $72,000 over the next 30 years paying for electricity without them, $15,000 doesn't seem so bad,
wow,
does it? Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Well, especially in a state like California or Florida where the sun is constantly out, taking full advantage of it. From what I understand, there's a lot of other countries who have already done that, and it's like we seem to be the last ones to jump on the train as far as how to utilize other types of energy out there.
In the state of California alone, there are 50,000 homeowners who have installed solar systems and are working with the government and their local utility companies to sell power back to them. Now, corporations in California that have gone completely solar for their electric, Google, Walmart, Federal Express, top three.
Really?
Yep.
Walmart has jumped on that.
Major corporations have been using solar panels for years to power their buildings completely. These are the top three that they name.
Say that again. So it's Google, Walmart.
Walmart, and Federal Express.
Federal Express.
Sure, wow. They got big old warehouses,
I mean,
full of lights.
Yeah, these guys, obviously.
Conveyor belts, all that stuff, yeah.
They are huge. Huge. So can you imagine how much money they are saving?
So now we also have a friend who sells rain barrels.
Yes.
Collects water.
Yes.
And he says that the state of California, actually his association is the largest sales for those rain barrels in California. So we're going to have him on the show also and talk about how they collect the water and what exactly that is doing for our natural lands. Keep the water, baby.
California happens to be in a drought right now.
A lot of states are, not just California. There's quite a few across the country.
And you know, you wouldn't really know it if you lived here, but there's certain sections that are really, really feeling the crunch. And agriculturally, I think we are feeling it even more because a lot of farmers are being limited on how much water they can actually use. So now that was a show that we had done with Gina couple of weeks back.
Gina Davis, yes.
Yep.
She's San Francisco area.
Yeah. So it is definitely something that is in the forefront of people's minds out here to be conscious of how we can save energy, how we can save the water, save the planet, and help ourselves out all along the way.
And let's just say that as a result of the radio show that we did with Gina Davis, it spurred on a lot more conversation. And one of Gina's partners was able to meet with the governor and a bunch of cabinet members about the subject of providing connectivity to change the water shortage in California. So congratulations to them and their group for being able to, you know, get a meeting with the governor and make some things change here and happen. Yay. Get outside your comfort zone.
Yeah. Well, this is it for us this week. We love having you here. If there is any questions, just hit us up on our Facebook. It is Humanitarian Radio on Facebook. And you can always go to our website, humanitarianradio.com.
If you know of a story of somebody doing great things that we should be talking to and air, absolutely, absolutely. We look forward to all the great conversations we have with everyone. And have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Take care.